Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, May 21st, Pope Leo calls for renewed faith in his first general audience. He appeals for an end to the hostilities and for free movement of aid in Gaza. And the Holy Father remembers the late Pope Francis, who passed away exactly 1 month ago. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. In his first general audience as Pope, Pope Leo XIV continued with Pope Francis's Jubilee series on the theme of Jesus Christ, our hope. The new Holy Father carried on with his predecessor's reflection on the parables of Jesus, which, Pope Leo said, helps us to rediscover hope because they show us how God acts in history and in our lives. Kelsey Gussie tells us more.
Oggi vorrei fermarmi su una parabola un po' particolare, perché si tratta di una specie di introduzione a tutte le parabole.
Pope Leo reflected on the parable of the sower, a rather unique parable, he said, as it serves as a kind of introduction to all the others. While parables are taken from everyday life, their goal is to convey something more profound. The Pope urged everyone to ask themselves these two questions. Where am I in this story, and what does this image say to my life? In this parable of the sower, Pope Leo explained that we can see God's power and the impact it has on us. Every word of the gospel is like a seed sown in the soil of our lives, he shared with those present in St. Peter's Square. People from all walks of life and backgrounds came to listen to Jesus, which shows that his word is for everyone, but it works in each person differently. This, Pope Leo explained, helps us understand that each of us can draw something from the parable, no matter our situation in life. In the story where the seeds fall seem to be of little concern to the sower, which the Pope pointed out symbolizes how God loves each and every one of us. We are used to calculating and planning things, he said, but love doesn't work that way.
Noi siamo abituati a calcolare le cose, e a volte è necessario, ma questo non vale nell'amore.
Whether we receive the word of God with enthusiasm or superficiality, God trusts that at one point or another, the seed will bear fruit. And to close his reflection, Pope Leo XIV pondered Vincent van Gogh's painting, The Sower at Sunset. What strikes me, he shared, is that behind the sower, van Gogh painted the grain already ripe. The Pope called this an image of hope, that somehow the seed has borne fruit. Before praying the Our Father in Latin to end the general audience, Pope Leo XIV remembered his predecessor, Pope Francis, on the one-month anniversary of his passing.
E non possiamo concludere questo nostro incontro senza ricordare con tanta gratitudine l'amato Papa Francesco che proprio un mese fa è tornato alla casa del Padre.
And we cannot conclude our encounter without remembering with such gratitude our beloved Pope Francis, who exactly 1 month ago returned to the house of our Father. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Also at the general audience, toward its conclusion, Pope Leo made an impassioned appeal for Gaza. Francesco Merlo tells us more.
Rinnovo il mio appello accorato a consentire l'ingresso.
I renew my appeal to allow the entry of dignified humanitarian aid and to put an end to the hostilities whose heartbreaking price is being paid by the children, elderly and the sick.
Dalle persone malate.
Pope Leo XIV made this appeal toward the conclusion of his first general audience in St. Peter's Square on the 21st of May. In his remarks to Italian pilgrims, he said the situation in the Gaza Strip is increasingly worrying and painful.
È sempre più preoccupante e dolorosa la situazione nella striscia di Gaza.
The humanitarian emergency in Gaza is at a breaking point, and the United Nations is warning of imminent famine. According to aid agencies, the humanitarian crisis in Gaza has intensified as Israeli airstrikes on the 20th of May resulted in Palestinian deaths, including children, amid ongoing military operations that have killed tens of thousands of people since October 2023. Despite Israel permitting a limited number of aid trucks into Gaza, international criticism has mounted, with calls for Israel to halt its military campaign and ease aid restrictions. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And as we heard moments ago, Pope Leo had remembered his predecessor who passed away exactly 1 month ago, Pope Francis. And let's listen to this report of Christopher Wells about how Pope Francis's memory has been remembered today in Rome.
E non possiamo concludere questo nostro incontro senza ricordare con tanta gratitudine l'amato Papa Francesco che proprio un mese fa è tornato alla casa del Padre.
We cannot conclude this encounter without remembering, with deep gratitude, our beloved Pope Francis, who returned to the Father's house exactly 1 month ago, Pope Leo said at the end of his first general audience on Wednesday. The one-month anniversary of Pope Francis' death will be marked with a Requiem Mass in suffrage for Pope Francis, which will be celebrated in the Papal Basilica of St. Mary Major, which the late Pope chose as his final resting place. Earlier on Wednesday, Cardinal Konrad Krajewski, the papal almoner and prefect of the Dicastery for the Service of Charity, celebrated Mass for personnel at the Casa Santa Marta. In his homily, the Polish-born cardinal recalled Pope Francis' daily Masses in the Santa Marta Chapel, noting that Pope Francis always began preparing for the liturgy the day before by reading the upcoming Gospel passage and highlighting words and phrases that struck him. Pope Francis employed the logic of the Gospel when he needed to resolve his own problems and those of the Church, Cardinal Krajewski said. He recalled Pope Francis often saying, "If you don't know what to do, search the Gospels to see what Jesus would have done in your place, and then you'll know." Last weekend, after making an excursion to the Marian Shrine of Genazzano, just outside of Rome, Pope Leo stopped at the Basilica of St. Mary Major to pray near the tomb of his predecessor. The Holy Father had also remembered Pope Francis during his first speech from the Loggia of St. Peter's Basilica, recalling how just a few weeks earlier, on Easter Sunday, during his final public appearance, Pope Francis had given the Urbi et Orbi blessing from that same balcony. I'm Christopher Wells.
Meanwhile, we learned some details about Pope Leo's schedule for the coming months, and in June in particular, Pope Leo XIV is scheduled to preside at a papal mass every Sunday in June for various jubilee events and solemnities taking place throughout the month. As Devin Watkins reports, the Pope will also hold a consistory of cardinals to vote on several causes of canonization.
The Office for the Liturgical Celebrations of the Supreme Pontiff has released the calendar for the Pope's liturgies in June 2025. It sees Pope Leo XIV presiding at Mass on every Sunday of the month, as well as a few on weekdays for liturgical memorials. The Pope begins the month with Mass in St. Peter's Square to mark the Jubilee of Families, Children, Grandparents, and the Elderly on June 1st. On Pentecost Sunday, June 8th, he returns to the Vatican Square to celebrate Mass for the Jubilee of Ecclesial Movements, Associations, and New Communities. The next day, Monday, June 9th, he is scheduled to preside at Mass on the Memorial of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church, in St. Peter's Basilica, marking the Jubilee of the Holy See. Later in the week, on Friday, June 13th, Pope Leo will hold an ordinary public consistory of cardinals to vote on several causes of canonization. On Sunday, June 15th, he will join participants in the Jubilee of Sport to celebrate Mass in St. Peter's Square. Then, as the Church marks the Solemnity of the Body and Blood of Christ, or Corpus Christi Sunday on June 22nd, Pope Leo XIV will preside at Mass, this time in the Basilica of St. John Lateran. Afterwards, he will take part in the Eucharistic procession down the Via Merulana to the Basilica of St. Mary Major. On Friday, June 27th, he will return to St. Peter's Square to celebrate Mass for the Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. 2 days later, on Sunday, June 29th, the Pope presides at Mass in St. Peter's Basilica to mark the Solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, Apostles. These liturgical celebrations take place alongside the Pope's weekly fixtures of the Wednesday General Audience and the Marian Prayer of the Regina Caeli, which is prayed until Pentecost, followed by the Angelus when ordinary time returns. I'm Devin Watkins.
10 years ago today, the so-called Islamic State brutally occupied and destroyed the Syrian city of Palmyra. Now almost entirely deserted, the city of staggering historical significance carries the weight of the Syrian civil war in its rubble and in the desert that surrounds it. while its destruction ironically brought its beauty to light and led those who had never known it to miss it, it also left a lethal legacy, landmines, an unexploded ordnance, an imminent threat to the lives of those who now, on the horizon of a new political dawn, dare to return. Damien O'Brien, head of the Halo Trust's Syria operations, has just returned from the ancient city. As the world's largest landmine clearance charity, Halo's presence in Syria, especially following the fall of the Assad regime, is more precious than ever. Already operating in the northwest of the country, the prospect of bringing life back to what it once was, a sophisticated and prosperous city, is a difficult task, but one that O'Brien is confident can be achieved. O'Brien spoke to Vatican Radio's Francesca Merlo about the prospect of a new future for Palmyra and those returning.
Well, like a lot of the country, the first step for us would be to survey it. You know, we know that there are accidents happening. You know, that's the first indication that there are devices there and that people returning are being affected by them. But I think there's a number of factors that are challenging for people to come back. And certainly the widespread contamination of explosive hazards is well known. The problem that we've got is that we don't have the capacity to clear it all before people come back. So when they come back, they are coming back to houses that are and buildings that are damaged. It's possible that there's unexploded devices in there because they've been heavily bombarded and not all explosive devices function as intended. So there could be things lying around, anything from grenades to rockets and mortars, potentially, you know, airdropped weapons as well. We know that in the desert areas, and Palmyra is in the desert, there are large areas where there's scattered subsurface contamination. And by that, I mean landmines or improvised explosive devices which function as landmines. Now, in the northwest, where I am at the moment, the front line between the what was the opposition-held area and what was the Assad-held area was quite clearly marked, and it was heavily mined by the Syrian army. We've got maps from the Syrian army. It was a pretty obvious front line. That's not the case in the desert areas, a city like Palmyra, with military installations, with road networks that were fought over and controlled by different people at different times. And we haven't seen the maps for these places. It's going to be a more challenging job to survey that area to find out what's actually there. And then we've got to figure out how we're going to clear it. So it's technically a bit of a different proposition to what we're dealing with in the Northwest.
And now we're going to hear about a recent tragedy in central Mexico from James Lears.
Surviving eyewitnesses say the gunman drove into the plaza of San Bartolo de Berrios village at high speed and opened fire at random with a volley of more than 100 shots from semi-automatic assault rifles, mowing down youngsters who were enjoying an event organized by the local church. In the aftermath, graffiti daubed on walls indicates that responsibility for the massacre was claimed by the Santa Rosa de Lima drug cartel. Local Archbishop Jaime Calderon says it's part of a turf war between rival drug cartels. Mexico's bishops' conference has condemned these murders as heinous actions.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's broadcast. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to Daniele Giorgi in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.